السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. كل نفس بما كسبت رهينة إلا أصحاب اليمين في جنات يتساءلون عن المجرمين ما سلككم في سقر قالوا لم نك من المصلين ولم نك نطعم المسكين وكنا نخوض مع الخائضين وكنا نكذب بيوم الدين حتى أتانا اليقين. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, we are discussing over the last two or three weeks this verse of the Quran Sharif, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that the people that will be in Jahannam, in the fire of hell, they will be questioned by those who will be in Jannat. Now how that will be arranged, Allah Ta'ala knows best. But in these days of communication technology that we have, it is nothing difficult to understand. You can have people behind a window, behind a glass, or behind a screen, and you can have others somewhere else, and they can be seen on the television screen, and questions can be put forward to them. Now all these objections which were raised in the past, how will this happen, how will that happen, science is answering all those questions. We know that the person can be sitting here and he can be questioning people who are in America. He can be sitting here and questioning people who are in Britain, in China, and in Timbuktu. And replies can also be very clearly heard. If man can invent such kind of technology, then why should we doubt Allah Ta'ala, whose word we know is nothing but the truth, and nobody can be more truthful than Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So this is the beauty of scientific inventions and scientific knowledge, that they are actually proving all those ayats of the Quran Sharif on which people of the past had doubts and suspicions, and they express their reservations. Also with regards to Miraj of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and so many other things, we will now find an answer in these scientific inventions. So therefore it is nothing to doubt if they will be given the opportunity to question those in Jahannam, that what is it that caused you to end up in the fire of hell. Now we will say that we are entering inshallah ta'ala with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal and ihsan. Tomorrow will be the first of Ramadan, so therefore we should be now speaking about Ramadan. But if you have to look at this ayat which we are discussing, I don't consider anything as coincidental. Everything happens with the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That we were discussing the second part of this ayat. In the first one they said that lam lakum minal musallin, that the thing that brought us into this fire of hell, besides all the other things, is that we never used to make our salat. Now as far as the kuffar are concerned, salat, zakat, roza, hajj, these things are what we term as the furu'at. First of all, they have to accept what we is known as the aqaid. Until they do not believe in Islam, until they do not believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there will be no such thing as namaz being farz on them. There will be no such thing as roza being farz on them. So now they're saying that it is the non-performance of Salat which brought us into the fire of Jahannam. It is an indication that for those people who are Muslims, for those people who are believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how much more important it is for them to make sure that the Salat is made at the appointed hour and time. And for them, the Mufassireen have stated that it is an increase in their punishment, that they would have got a certain amount of punishment for their kufr, but here their punishment will be multiplied and increased because they did not accept Islam and then perform Salat, give Zakat, etc., etc. So we were discussing that. Now in this month of Ramadan which is coming, we know that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He knows exactly the human nature. He knows everything that is going to happen, that has happened and that will happen. There is no such thing that Allah ta'ala, things are hidden from His sight. Everything is happening in accordance with His will. Sometimes it's a punishment for some people, sometimes it's a glad tiding for some people, sometimes it's a test for some people. Sometimes you find Allah in sickness, sometimes you find Allah in health, sometimes you find Allah in poverty, sometimes you find Allah in wealth. Sometimes you find Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in trials and tribulations, and sometimes you find Allah ta'ala in comfort and in ease. So that is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system. But everything is known to Allah ta'ala. He has given us a willpower. And we are questioned, we are accountable, we are answerable because of this willpower that Allah ta'ala has given to us. We have to use this willpower and do that which is pleasing to Him and stay away from that which is haram and forbidden and displeasing to Him. So if we look at this Salat itself, the first part again, that in the days before Ramadan, there were just 5 Salat. And in this month of Ramadan, it has become Sunnat-e-Muakkada, something on which great emphasis has been placed, and that is the performance of Taraweeh Salat. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows that these people got up early for Sahri, and as it is, they were finding it difficult to make 5 times Salat. Now where is this imposition of another 20 rakats of Salat? But it shows that Allah ta'ala, who is imposing or whatever He is ordering via His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then He makes it easy for that ummah also. There is nothing that is made difficult for the ummah, that they just cannot do a thing and Allah ta'ala makes it compulsory, or it becomes very, very important, like Sunnat-e-Muakkada. There's nothing like that. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that He has not made anything difficult for you. In one ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ هُوَجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. He hasn't made in your deen anything that is difficult for you. That's what it means. It means outwardly there will be a little effort that a person has to make, but it is not something that is impossible for a person to do. Those countries in which they had kept fast, or they will be fasting 22 hours and 18 hours and 16 hours, they too, alhamdulillah, have been able to observe the fast. In spite of all their daily work and activities, they have been able to observe it. And I think I mentioned last year, but the days go so fast that it seems as if just yesterday was Ramadan, that when we make this niyat, it is that power of that niyat that makes things easy for the person. Until the person does not make that niyat that he is going to keep the fast, there will always be this whisperings of shaitan that probably you cannot manage. There could be a problem in your keeping the fast. As many students are now finding out, is it permissible to forego the fast during those days that they are writing examinations? Now, can that be a legitimate and a valid excuse? In fact, if they keep fast and make dua, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will assist them in their examinations. In the same way, those people who are going to be very, very busy in their shops and businesses, then they too feel that can we fast or cannot we fast? So if you make that niyat that, Ya Allah, for your pleasure, I am making this niyat that I am fasting, I am keeping the fast, I am going to observe the fast, then that niyat is so powerful, it is such a chain that it makes it very easy for that person to then keep that fast. Allah Ta'ala creates that kind of conditions. Those people who find their fast difficult after making the niyat of fast are definitely those people who are indulging in sins together with their fast. As we find in the books of hadith that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when those two women complained that they just cannot continue with the fast, it is as if they are going to lose their lives and they must open their fast. I'm just giving you the explanation to that hadith. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked them to vomit. He said, they have already eaten. He said, no, we haven't eaten. They said, well, vomit and spew out in this dish on container. When they vomited and spewed, there was like fresh pieces of meat that had come out from the system. So he said that you kept fast, but you were backbiting. You were indulging in backbiting, which is a favorite pastime during fasting days. The favorite pastime during fasting days is backbiting. You sit in a company, now you don't know what to talk, so you talk about this person, that person, make ghibat of the whole world, and we forget that those are the things that will make our fast also difficult, and it will also take away the sawab and the reward of that fast, and it will be as if the person just stayed hungry and thirsty. That's about all. So those people who after making the niyat, then they find the fast very difficult, then it is those who are indulging in sins. So what we have to do is, today we have to make this niyat already from now, that we are going to keep the fast in the month of Ramadan, and we are going to make the maximum effort to stay away from everything that is sinful, shameful, obscene, indecent. Whatever Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has declared as haram and forbidden, then we will totally stay away from that. And then see how Allah Ta'ala makes that fast easy and comfortable. Yes, there will be a little bit of the weakness that will come, that is natural. But there won't be that restlessness that the person experiences, that when will be iftar that I can open my fast, when will be iftar that I can open my fast. Allah Ta'ala does not make it like that for any of His servants, because He is the one who has made it compulsory, or sunnat-e-muakkada, it has become through Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So therefore, when the person is going to stand up for Taraweeh, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. In the same way, when the person is going to fast, which is made farz, Allah Ta'ala will make it easy. So this performance of Salat, as I said, that it is also linked to this month of Ramadan, that just as we are making the five times Salat, and especially those who are not even making the five times Salat in other months of the year, then in this month of Ramadan they should make up their niyat and minds that we want to make our Salat with Jamaat as far as possible, and bring the ruh and the spirit of that namaz. And then believe me, my brothers, I am telling you, on the eve of Ramadan, we can call it, that this namaz has, and Salat has solved the problems of individuals by the millions. If you look at Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's entire life, he made use of the means in the battle of Badr, he made use of the means in the battle of Uhud, he made use of the means in the battle of Khandaq, everywhere he made use of the means. But the real nusrat of Allah Ta'ala, the help of Allah Ta'ala, and that victory that came, always came on the basis of that dua of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course, we should not be restless that the moment we make dua, we want to see the fruits of that dua. We know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he made dua. Rabbana wab'ath fihim rasulam min anfusihim. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua 2,500 years ago. 2,500 years before Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's coming into this world. That, oh Allah, send amongst my progeny a Nabi. And then the four functions of that Prophet also, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, that he will rehearse the verses of the Quran, he will make tilawat of the Quran, he will explain the meaning of the Quran, he will make tazkiyah of the qulub, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must teach them wisdom. Now this dua that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made, it was accepted, but the zuhur of that dua came only after 2,500 years. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, his son Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, is taken away. And due to jealousy, his brothers go and throw him away in the well. Of course, they made a big story that it was a wolf that had eaten him up, but he was thrown into the well. Now, the well was not 100,000 miles away or 50,000 miles away or far, far away. That well was just outside his town. But he did not get the information of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam being in that well. Now, Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala accepts his dua, but only after about 40 years or so, then he meets up with Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. In the same way, if you look at all the du'as of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, you look at the du'as of the Salihin, you look at the du'as of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala accepted their du'as, but sometimes as a test, Allah ta'ala delays the zuhur of that du'a. That means the fruition of that du'a. The person only realizes that it was accepted, but it was accepted long, long ago. But sometimes a period of time goes, and it is mentioned by Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala dearly loves that person, that who in anticipation now, he has made a dua, and he has asked Allah Ta'ala for victory, he has asked Allah Ta'ala for cure from his disease and ailment, he has asked Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for wealth, he has asked Allah Ta'ala for relief of his problems, and ease of his problems. Now this person, if he is given immediately what he has asked, then many people will then forget Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and go and sleep. They say, well, what we asked Allah Ta'ala, He gave it to us same time, so now there's no need to continue. They say, Allah Ta'ala dearly loves when that person goes on crying. Allah Ta'ala dearly loves that. So He accepts the dua, but there is sometimes a little delay. And this is exactly what is happening in Afghanistan at present. We know that even in the past it happened. 1.5 million lives were lost. And then the Russians captured practically every city. And they had the best of equipment. They had the best of everything. Ammunition, tanks, and the technology, their air force, their navy, everything was there. After they captured everything, then what happened after that? It was the same Taliban, simple little people, without much technology, without any real arms and ammunition, and they drove them out of those cities, and not only that, all their equipment and all those tanks and all the ammunition that they had left behind, it is still there in so many of those tunnels that are there. Those people who have been to Afghanistan, they will tell you in those tunnels how much of ammunition they got as Mal-e Ghanimat. So that is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's system. In fact, it just the faxes that I read out the other night, in there was the information that this is a tactical move, it's a strategy that they are using, and they are retreating, not because they have surrendered or anything of that nature. It is a tactical move that these people are just bombing and bombing left, right and center, every area you can think of, there's nothing but bombs that are being thrown. And which bomb they haven't used, they say every kind of bomb they were using. And more than almost 40 days were gone. So it was a strategy. They thought that it was better now that let them come in. Because like this, if they're going to go on bombing, our Ramadan will come way too and we can't really catch anybody, we can't do anything. So it was Amirul Mu'mineen who had this kind of a vision or whatever it was. And immediately on wireless, he informed all his Taliban, the soldiers wherever they were, that you should retreat and let them come into the cities and take over whatever they have to take over. It will do two things. One is that the munafiqeen will be sorted out from the true and the sincere ones. As we can see, the munafiqeen and the hypocrites were those people who by force of government regulation, they were keeping the beards. By force of government regulation, they were staying away from music or staying away from the cinemas and staying away from all the other haram. The women folk also, it was by force of regulation that they were just covering their faces or they were staying away from those things that the government had prohibited. So now this will sort that out, that who are those people that were keeping it sincerely for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure, and who were those who were just keeping it because they feared going into prison. Now all those who shaved off their beards are the Taliban who imposed those restrictions. Have the Taliban written a Quran Sharif or Hadith Sharif that you must keep beard? Or was it the instruction of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This picture making, have the Taliban written it in a Hadith that it is our Hadith that you must not make pictures of animate objects? Or was it the Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hukam? If you have to look at the Hadiths, see what has been stated in there. In the same way, the restrictions with regards to cinema, with casinos, and with adultery, and fornication, and free intermingling, and dancing, and music. Now, all these things were not imposed by the Taliban as such. All they were doing was applying the law of the Quran and the Sunnah. As I said in the past also, that there can be a little bit of excesses in certain things, with everybody makes mistakes. But most of it is just absolute propaganda. That they were beaten up and they were executed, just if somebody's face just opened, then she was beaten up in the open street and she was executed, and this happened and that happened. So many of those things were done by the warlords of Afghanistan before Afghanistan was taken over by the Taliban. They used to impose taxes on practically every bus stop, and they used to rape, and they used to loot, and they did whatever they did now, they even did in those days. It was the Taliban that came, and alhamdulillah, what kind of government they were establishing, where there was so much of peace that you could have left your bag anywhere, and you will find it after 48 hours, and after 100 and plenty hours, it will still be there. Nobody will attempt to even touch it. There was such aman and such peace and such sukoon, but now that doesn't suit the West, because they want corruption, they want filth, they want promiscuity, they want obscenity, they want shamelessness, they want their videos to sell, they want their porn magazines to sell, they want zina to be rife in the society, so that there can be diseases, so that there can be sicknesses, so that there can be pollution, so that the Muslims can be cut off from their contact with their Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And once they cut them off by means of the indulgence in all the sins, then it is easy to captivate them and to capture them. So therefore, look what he had to say here. He says that jo kuch ho raha hai wo amal-e hikmati ke tehat ho raha hai. Whatever has been done, it is a strategy that is being used. یہ آزمائش ہے جو امت کے اوپر آ رہی ہے. دس ملا عمر اس سے دس از آزمائش, دس از اے ٹیسٹ وچ از کمنگ اپون دا امت اینڈ اٹ از ناٹ نیو. دا فیکٹس دیٹ آئی ریڈ دا ادر نائٹ ان دا مجلس, اٹ اسٹیٹڈ دیٹ اور بیٹل از ود ناٹ جسٹ اینی آرڈنری کفر اور کافر, اور بیٹل از ود اے ویری پاور فل کافر. اینڈ واٹ کائنڈ آف پاور فل کافر ہی از, ہی از سچ اے پاور فل کافر اینڈ انفیڈل دیٹ ناٹ اونلی دا نان مسلم گورمنٹس فیئر ہم, but even the Muslim governments think that he is Khuda Ehsani, that he is the second Allah, that if we have to displease him then there will be stranglehold on our economy and this and that and all the rest of it that goes. So he says that we are fighting such a kind of enemy, and that enemy has gathered together 100 countries to support him, and then to look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help, that for 40 days they use cluster bombs which should have burnt 1.6 kilometers area, the daisy bombs which they use. He said it comes down and then it's 1.6 kilometer radius, it burns everything. And yet the Musa, the Taliban were making salat and they say it used to fall in front of them and nothing used to happen. And that is proven fact. This media, what we are listening to, is that if that was the truth what they are telling us, then by now complete Afghanistan should have been destroyed with the type of bombs that they have thrown. He says they used the B-51, B-52, sab nakam ho gaye. Uske baad unhone wo cluster bomb istemal kiya, wo bhi nakam ho gaye. Uske baad wo daisy bomb istemal kiya, wo bhi nakam ho gaye. So now this is a sign that Allah Ta'ala's help and nusrat is with them, but there will always be a little bit of defeat, little bit of... Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the battle of Uhud, Rasul-e-Pak s.a.w. is amongst the sahabas, and Mullah Umar is nothing, is not even like the dust on the feet of Rasul-e-Pak s.a.w.'s feet, like the dust on the shoes of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He's not, you can't even compare Mullah Umar to that dust that was on the shoes of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ta'alluq with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is such that we cannot even imagine. And yet Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is stoned. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he is stoned. His teeth are shattered. Rasul-e-Pak s.a.w. falls down unconscious. So much of his blood oozes out in that Maidan of Uhud that the people who go there and they've got the heart and they've got the sight and they've got the gaze, then they can even see the Noor even in that Maidan even today. And they, again, not only that, but 70 of the best Sahaba-e-Kiram become shaheed in that battle. Now what would we have said? We would have said defeat. Immediately we would have said that is defeat. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you look at Sulah Hudaybiyah, the ayat of the Quran Sharif is revealed. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is entering into an agreement, is entering into an agreement with the kuffar, and it is all one-sided. Everything is in the favor of the kuffar. Even Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has to ask Nabi alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are we not on haq? He said, yes, we are. He said, then why are we accepting these terms and conditions? But the Quran Sharif says, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Now when did that fatah come? This happened in the fifth year, and we know that the fatah Makkah didn't take place in the fifth year. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He knows, as long as there are three, four things which Mullah Amirul Mumineen says, unfortunately the time is expired, as each of these things require explanation. He says that Zururat saat cheezo ki hai. There are seven things that are required and which are essential for the nusrat and the madad and the help of Allah Ta'ala to come. And he says, inshallah, we have got full hope and umid in Allah Ta'ala that when these people will come into the cities and they will take over everything, it will do two things. One is it will separate the munafiqeen from the true believers. And the other thing is Allah Ta'ala's help and nusrat will come and we will capture all these places again, inshallah. He says, istiqamat ki zarurat hai. First thing is that there must be steadfastness. Hosle ki zarurat hai, there must be courage. Sabar ki zarurat hai, that when conditions will come which will be adverse, then there must be sabar. Allah Ta'ala se mangne ki zarurat hai, the people must ask and beg of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for His nusrat, for His help and for His assistance. Allah Ta'ala par tawakkul ki zarurat hai, that you must have trust and faith in Allah Ta'ala. Koshish karne ki zarurat hai, that you must not say that just duas are sufficient. Those who are mujahideen there, they will have to make the effort, they will have to use their intelligence, they will have to use the strategy, they will have to make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has created. And finally, taqdeer par iman rakhne ki zarurat hai, that you have to have faith in your taqdeer, that it is not the capture of land and territory that is victory. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, you must have faith the taqdeer, whatever Allah Ta'ala has willed, whatever He has planned, whatever He has decided, as long as you have these six qualities, then whatever He has planned and decided, that will happen, and there will be definitely khair in that, and there will be definitely victory that the Muslims can claim if they have got these type of things. And alhamdulillah, the Mullah Umar Amirul Mumineen himself and lots of others, they are from the Mustajabud Dawat. So this month of Ramadan is coming. What I was going to speak on and where it goes away, Allah Ta'ala only knows. But in any case, this month of Ramadan is coming. So let us make sincere tawbah from all our sins and then make a lot of dua for the ummah which is suffering all over the world, and especially for the people of Palestine, where because of what is happening in Afghanistan, many, many of us have just sort of forgotten that Palestine, the terror that they are experiencing, and the oppression and the tyranny and all the things that are happening there. So we have to make a lot of dua for the Palestinians, for the protection of Masjid al-Aqsa from the mischievous intentions of the Yahud, and also we have to make dua that Afghanistan, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, wherever the Mujahideen of Islam are making an effort to defend the borders of Islam and the deen of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala must send the angels and help them and destroy the enemy forces by sending unseen forces.